Logan Garrett here from Rainforest Radio in Costa Rica, welcoming you to the best environmental radio program in the U.S. It's time now for the Green Living Show with landscape architect, arborist, columnist, author, and speaker, my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Got a little bit different thing for you today. I've got to cover some stuff and get caught up on what I've been up to and tell you about the poison of the week and all that. And then we're going to talk the rest of the show about soil tests and water tests and stem tissue tests and all kinds of things with Texas Plant and Soil Lab. And we'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. First of all, it's a full moon today and tomorrow, and I've already been running into some full moon kinds of things. Those of you that don't believe in gardening by the moon or doing other things by the moon, you need to revisit that decision, because it is definitely something. There's definitely something to it, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Basically, if you're a gardener, you probably already know you want to plant things that are going to produce flowers and fruit above ground during the waxing of the light. This is an oversimplification of gardening by the moon. And then you want to plant things that produce underground, carrots and beets and garlic and onions and things like that, during the waning, during the decreasing light of the moon. And you can get a lot more technical than that. People, the ranchers that dehorn animals and castrate animals and do things that result in any kind of bleeding will do that during the waning of the moon, too. If you get a haircut, you can test it out yourself. Get a haircut or shave during the waning of the moon. It'll last longer than if you do it during the increasing light of the moon. And if you've never heard about any of that, we've got a little bit of it on the website on dirtdoctor.com. And there's books. Louise Riott's book is my favorite if you want to get into it in more detail. But tomorrow will be full moon. It'll be interesting to see what kind of callers we have during the full moon. I'm always interested in what the effect there is. Judy and I just got back from a trip, and we just got our first full body massage, body scan. We got the scan. I was mad at myself after I'd gone through it, and I thought, well, I shouldn't have allowed it to happen, and it kind of happened before I even knew it was about to be done. And there were a couple of things. One is I didn't tell them no, and I didn't make them do the pat-down because we were running late. And they've got it set up where when you run into it for the first time, you'll probably see the same thing. It's going to take about 30 minutes longer to go through and get the pat-down than to go through the scanner. But when I was standing in the stupid thing and realized that it was about to happen to me, it dawned on me, I've been through it before. It was 2 or 3 years ago. I guess it was when some of the testing was done on it, and it was kind of the same thing. I didn't realize it was going on until it was too late. You don't feel anything or anything like that. What you will experience, if you haven't yet, is when you're going up to put your carry-on through, through the examination and all that, they get all over you about making sure you take everything out of your pockets. That's the tip. If they're telling you to take everything out of your pockets, including paper, you know you're about to go through a full body scan. And it just lasts a second. It's like a little, it's like you're in a little small elevator, and it revolves around you, and it's over. I think the worry not only is that it's radiation, but I've read some things recently about the fact that they've run into some problems with the software running it, and you can get a little bit heavier dose or a lot heavier dose than they're telling you you can get, and some people have even been burned. So I'm next time, if I have enough time, if we've gone out to the airport at the proper time and there's enough time, I'm going to make them do the pat down. I'm not going to allow it to happen again. I was glad to hear on the news this morning that the pilots have gotten an exemption from it, at least. They've got to show two forms of identification, and they don't have to go through it every time they go out there, which is good, because that'd be really bad for them to have to go through that every day. But anyway, that's our I guess we should have made that the poison of the week. We may do it next time. And the poison of the week this time is fluoride. And a lot of people, every time I bring up fluoride, I get a little bit of hate mail, especially from some of the dentists out there that still think that it is a smart thing to do. I don't, and haven't for a long, long time. There is an article, in fact, I just printed it out, that you will find on our website on dirtdoctor.com that was written about fluoride being in some of the agriculture and horticulture crop products and pesticides and things like that, a little bit different angle than I've always thought about. You know, we have an advertiser, this Dr. Alan Sprinkle in Arlington. I got a real interesting email this week from somebody saying that I shouldn't be recommending or talking about a dentist on my show, and I scratched my head about that email since he's one of our advertisers and has been for a long time. And Dr. Sprinkle is an anti-fluoride guy as well. The reason we're against it is, one, it doesn't do the things that it's purported to do to make teeth stronger and do all the things that are positive that it's cracked up to do. And the other thing is, it's a very deadly poison. A lot of the fluoride, if not all of it, on the market is coming from a waste. It's an industrial waste, basically. And a lot of it comes from other countries, and it's a real nice way to get rid of it. It's put it into amalgams and put it into mercury's put into amalgams more than fluoride. But fluoride is used in toothpaste and a lot of things to get rid of it as much as anything. So if you don't believe in all that and want to call and argue about it, I don't want to talk to you about it. If you believe that, that's fine. If you are on the fence and want to learn more about it, we've got that information on the website now for you, because it is the poison of the week, and we've got some links there. Unfortunately, I tried them a minute ago and they didn't work. I'll see if they're fixed, and I'll let you know when they are. They are fixed. I just did it and they work now. So you can see the information we have about fluoride. The other thing I wanted to cover real quick for you, I got an email this week about how I eat vinegar, drink vinegar, eat cinnamon, and ginger. What are the doses that I take? And I don't do all three of those on a very regular basis. It made me think about the fact that I probably should. In fact, I had oatmeal this morning, and that's how I do cinnamon. I put a whole lot of cinnamon in the oatmeal. I also put butter, real butter, and honey are the things that I use in my oatmeal. But cinnamon is good for you, which is interesting because it will also run ants off. It's a very good pest control for ants in the house, and I don't know why they hate it so much, but they do. But it's one of those herbs that is good for you, that has some disease-fighting characteristics, and it's got some health-giving benefits as well, as does vinegar. Vinegar, I probably drink about an ounce a day, I would imagine. I put some in a drink that I do every morning. Sometimes I do at night as well. Sometimes I'll take a tablespoon of it straight. What vinegar I use is a real good organic apple cider vinegar. The brands vary. I probably use Bragg more than any. That's Bragg. Not an advertiser. Wish they were. I've met them. I've met Patricia Bragg. She is one more character out in California. She's their operation is in Santa Barbara. And when Logan was in school out there, we went out and had a very nice visit and talked to him about working together, but we never have. They do have a good product, but we've never done anything with them. On ginger, what I recommend there is growing your own. If you go to the store and buy some, try to buy some organic ginger, because the way I recommend it is to cut a little piece of it and put it between your cheek and gum instead of chewing tobacco, and use it that way. Just chew on it. It has lots of antioxidants. It's really good for you in a whole lot of ways. And it's a little hot when you first do that. You'll think that I'm nuts the first time you try it, that it's too strong to do that. But if you give it a while, you'll find out that it is very, I don't know, it's a real refreshing taste. And once you get used to it, it's not overpowering at all. But cut a little piece about the size, I don't know, about a third as large as you would use chewing gum, something like that, and just leave it in your cheek or chew it. Either way is a good way to get a good, healthy amount of ginger into your system. Well, I'm Howard Garrett. The website's dirtdoctor.com. If you want our weekly newsletter, which comes out usually early in the week on Tuesday, that's when we try to do it, send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. We'll cover a few things and then talk about soil test after that. Don't go away.
Lately, there's been a buzz about probiotics, but some of us are still left wondering what they are and why they're so important. The term probiotic refers to dietary supplements or foods that contain beneficial or good bacteria, comparable to those normally found in your body. These good bacteria are depleted by the stresses of everyday modern life. Probiotics help to keep your digestion healthy and boost your overall immune health. In order to maintain the correct ratio of good to bad bacteria, it's necessary for us to supplement our diets with a high-quality probiotic. Dr. O'Hara's award-winning Probiotics 12 Plus is a pioneer of probiotic supplementation. Each capsule contains superior natural ingredients and no refrigeration is required, making it perfect for traveling. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12 Plus is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12 Plus, an evolutionary leap in probiotic science. Feel the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Munster Natural Pet Foods are very special products for your very special pets, dogs and cats. These products have all the good things. More flaxseed, the richest source of omega-3 in any pet food out there. Natural preservatives throughout the product. Citric acid, rosemary extract, and natural tocopherols. Not just in the fats, as with a lot of dog foods, but throughout the product. Munster Natural is loaded with vitamins and minerals. The blend gives your dogs and cats the most beautiful coats you've ever seen. Munster Natural comes in three different rations for dogs. Red bag for puppies, mothers, and athletes. Green bag for normally active dogs. And the blue bag for seniors and less active dogs. Latest addition is the yellow bag, which is the chicken and rice formula that contains no wheat or corn. Munster Natural cat food has the same basic special ingredients for your pets. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, recommending highly Munster Natural dog food and cat food.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Add versatility to your spring landscaping with Steel. The Steel Yard Boss is much more than a cultivator for gardens and flower beds. With seven optional attachments, you can dethatch, edge, and aerate your lawn or garden, and clean the driveway with the bristle brush or power sweep attachment. The Yard Boss is lightweight in design, making it easy to carry, hang, and transport, and folds to save on storage space. The MM55 Steel Yard Boss is now just $349.99. Act now and get a free wheel kit with Steel Yard Boss purchase, adding better maneuverability and easier handling. The wheel kit is a $49.99 value. Offer expires June 30th, 2010, or while supplies last. Attachments sold separately. See your local servicing Steel dealer today or visit steeldealers.com. That's STIHL dealers.com. All prices and promotions are VME SRP. Available at participating dealers while supplies last.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Sugar can ruin your health. Here are a few good reasons from Nancy Appleton, PhD, who wrote Suicide by Sugar. Sugar can suppress the immune system. It can cause hyperactivity, anxiety, difficulty concentrating, and crankiness in children. Sugar interferes with absorption of calcium and magnesium. It can increase cholesterol. It can weaken eyesight and can cause hypoglycemia. It can cause premature aging, tooth decay, and contribute to obesity. Sugar can cause arthritis. It can cause asthma, gallstones, and heart disease. Sugar can lead to periodontal disease. Sugar can contribute to osteoporosis. It can cause headaches, including migraine. It can cause liver tumors. And sugar can cause cataracts. To learn more about living a more natural and healthy lifestyle, visit DirtDoctor.com today. You'll find helpful topics and wonderful products that will help you live better, have more fun, and save money, including information on why to avoid sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number, if you want to call in, is 1-866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. If you want to just sit back and listen, that's fine too. But we will be talking starting at the bottom of the hour about soil tests, and we're going to be talking with Texas Plant and Soil Lab. Frank Schultz is here. Noe Garcia will be calling in, and so if you've got any questions relative to your soil or new beds that you're doing, we've got the experts here to discuss all that. And this is the soil test company that I recommend. You'll see their banner ads and connections on our website. And whenever you hear me or read anything where I'm talking about soil tests, this is the company that I recommend. So get your questions ready, and we'll cover a lot of the things. If you want to just sit back and listen, that's fine too. One of the other questions that came in this week was tricky always for me to answer is about mulch. And the question was about a Dallas Morning News column, which I, of course, write for. Well, they have other people that do columns there, and some of them come from other parts of the country. And one of them, one of the questions was about a mulch column that recently ran. And they said that they wanted to know which bark mulches that I recommend. So let me go through them real quickly. Mulching for vegetable gardens or for landscaping or whatever you're doing is a very positive thing. We recommend mulching, and even the bad mulches are better than no mulch at all, like with a couple of exceptions that I'll cover here. But the one mulch that I recommend the most, which is what the question revolved around, is native shredded tree trimmings. The best mulch you can possibly use is shredded material that grew on your own property that you just recycle right down to cover the bare soil. Covering bare soil is critical. It's what nature does, with a couple of exceptions. And one of those exceptions is above the freeze line on the top of mountains, and the other is in perennial rainforest rain areas where rivers are and the banks are changing all the time. There's no mulch in those two situations. Everywhere else, Mother Nature keeps the mulch covered. Well, in some desert situations too, and even there, there's some mulch coverings. But basically, Mother Nature covers bare soil, and it makes a lot of good things happen. It keeps the carbon in the soil. It keeps carbon from burning out, the organic matter from burning out, and creating a desert situation. It also keeps the pH and the biological activity where it should be on the surface of the soil, that all-important top layer of soil. It prevents erosion. It keeps the temperature mediated. It keeps the temperature where it's the best for the most important roots. The most important roots are going to be traveling right at the surface of the soil. So everything that mulch does is really beneficial, unless you pile the mulch up too heavily, too high on the stem of the plants, and that's a bad thing. That is as bad as having soil up too high on the plants. So any kind of natural mulch you use is better than no mulch at all. But the best one is shredded tree trimming, shredded shrub trimming, shredded things that grew around your property. I had somebody write me an email this week and say that they disagreed with me on that point. They said, Howard, there's one thing that you should not be telling people to shred and put around your plants, and that is hollies that have spines. He said the spines won't break down in the compost. I don't agree with that. I've mulched spiny plants for years and years, and I've never run into that. Probably the person that sent the email didn't compost quite thoroughly enough. If anybody else has some negative experience with composting thorny plants, let me know. Yeah, they'll break down slower, but you can break down anything, including bone of animals, if you do it properly and long enough. The second best mulch is to buy shredded native tree trimming mulch from a company that is making it, that is bringing it in from various landscape sources and grinding it. Some of these companies will grind it, what they call it, double grinding. The tree trimming companies create a real heavy textured mulch, and then the company that sells the mulch will do a second grind. And it's prettier that way. It's actually good in the rough form. I use it all the time that way. In fact, that's exactly what I use in my vegetable garden. And I'll use it on the walkways first, and then as it breaks down, which happens pretty fast because there's a lot of protein as well as carbon in tree trimmings, and it breaks down fast. And then I'll mine the broken down tree trimmings and put it over into the beds where the plants are growing. But the first step is that I use it in the walkways and the area around the growing area for traffic. If you're doing a new house, if you're doing remodeling, if you're adding on to an existing property or anything in between those, using shredded tree trimmings mulch, the same thing I'm talking about using around plants, as a covering on the site that the contractor has to work on, that people drive on and park their equipment on and store things on, that is the best use that you can possibly come up with on that real rough ground mulch. The second ground stuff looks prettier for the beds, landscaping, and vegetable garden and all that. But like I said, I use the rough stuff there too. The worst ones, the worst mulches, well, the worst one is pine bark, because pine bark won't stay in place, and as it breaks down, it forms some natural compounds that are nasty. Let me talk about it just a little bit more when we come back, and then we'll get into soil tests. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, it's 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
Clean, pure water is crucial to our health. Aquasana home water filtration products have been voted Best Buy by Consumers Digest 6 years in a row. Visit Aquasana.com today to receive the Dirt Doctor special of 20% off factory direct purchases. Use the promo code Dirt Doctor at checkout to receive your 20% discount, free same-day shipping, and a free Aquasana glass water bottle. Order now by going to Aquasana.com. That's A-Q-U-A-S-A-N-A.com. And make sure to use the Dirt Doctor promo code.
Learn to live more natural and organic by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic program is better in every way. The organic method is the most efficient, most cost-effective, and most fun of any approach. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping or delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and natural living. Howard Garrett books can be found in the online store at dirtdoctor.com or in stores in your neighborhood. Purchase one of these fine books today so you can start enjoying living the natural way.
Spring is here, and it often brings the need for many home repair projects. Is your household budget stretched so it's hard to afford basic home repairs and improvement projects? Here are some green living, do-it-yourself projects that will enhance your health and save you money. Fix a leaky faucet. Paint a room with low VOC paint. Install an attic tent to create an air transfer barrier between your attic and living areas. Install a solar attic fan. Enjoy a high-powered, water-saving showerhead. Purchase do-it-yourself radiant barrier for your attic ceiling. Or get an easy-to-install under-sink water filtration system. These projects require having the right tools and, more importantly, great information so you don't have to figure everything out by yourself. Visit howardgarrett.com for helpful step-by-step advice, how-to guides, and the best products for your spring green living home improvement projects.
There's more to an organic lifestyle than organic gardening and natural organic foods. These are important, but so are the following: non-toxic paints and stains, cleaning products, water filters, bed and bath products, bamboo cutting boards and food utensils, recycled artful countertops, energy-efficient cookware, natural pet products, as well as energy-saving products like the right light fixtures and solar chargers for electrical devices. The place that can help you with wonderful advice and all of these products is Green Living. They're very easy to find. It's greenliving.com or dirtdoctor.com. Green Living has all of the gardening products recommended by the Dirt Doctor, but also organic coffee, The Missing Link, Redmond Sea Salt, baby care, bed and bath, home care, and pet products. That's greenliving.com or dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
All righty, Howard Garrett back with you, and we're going to talk about soil test in one second, but let me finish on the chat about the mulches real quickly, because you need to know which are the what are the bad ones. The bad one that is the most commonly sold is pine bark, because it won't stay in place. It washes, it blows away, it floats away. And if it does stay in place, as pine bark breaks down, it forms it breaks down into natural chemicals that don't do a good job of helping plant growth at all. Terpenes and things that just aren't very good for plant growth. And pine needles, interestingly enough, are good. They don't do the same kind of chemistry. They don't produce the same kind of chemistry as they break down. They stay in place, and I recommend them. The only funny thing about them is if you use them in a place that doesn't have pine trees, it looks a little weird. The other bad mulch is cypress. Cypress is an environmental problem about the way it's harvested and shipped across all over the country from wetlands, and it is not a good mulch because it won't break down. We like mulches that break down and form humus and feed the soil naturally. The other really bad one is rubber, ground up rubber tires. I don't recommend that at all. A lot of nasty chemicals, doesn't break down, get too hot, especially when you use them in the south, and not a good mulch at all. Shredded bark that comes from areas like East Texas, shredded hardwood bark. It's kind of a red color, has some people think a pleasant fragrance. Some people think it's a little too strong. It's a good one. It's a good mulch as well. So that's a real quick rundown. You can look on dirtdoctor.com and get more details about all that if you want to check into it. Well, we have Frank Schultz. We have Noe Garcia and down in the valley, both from Texas Plant and Soil Lab. I think we have Noe. Let me see if I can get him on the horn here. Noe, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Howard. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Frank.
Howard, how in the world are you?
Well, doing great. Thanks, guys, for being with us. We talk about your company a lot, and a lot of people are, I'm sure, looking forward to hearing from you about what you do. The first thing we've got to talk about is the most important. Is it Noe or Noel?
I guess it depends what part of the country we're talking about, Howard. a lot of people can't pronounce Noe, so, you know, my birth name's Noel or Noel. But, yeah, most people know me by Noe.
Yeah, a lot of people that work with you in the valley and across Texas and the rest of the country, I think, do know you mostly by Noe. And I was confused about that the first time I heard Frank say Noel a couple of times, I think. Frank is, I guess, best way to put it, one of the new owners of the place. Noe, you worked with Kay Chandler for how many years?
18 years.
Kay was the founder of the company down in Edinburgh, Texas. It's the soil testing lab I recommend because they do things a little bit differently, and we're going to talk about that. Give us, Noe, just a little bit, or Frank, either one of you or both of you, just a little bit more history about the company quickly.
Well, Howard, the lab was actually established by Dr. George Schultz, no relation, in 1938. And Noe, after that, you know the history better than I do, when Kay Chandler showed up and Dr. Alban Lingell. When was all of that?
That was mid to late 60s.
Okay.
Before that, it was actually Texas Soil Laboratory back in 1938. They strictly did soil testing. And then when Kay and Dr. Alban Lingell from Arizona came in the late 60s, mid to late 60s, they added the Texas Plant Soil Lab when he purchased the lab from Dr. Schultz.
Well, Kay Chandler was actually working with Dr. Schultz at the lab prior to his purchasing the thing. Is that not true?
That is correct. The reason he was using it, because of the soil extraction they used, he was the only soil test he could actually calibrate back to his plant uptake. He was doing a lot of the cotton patty analysis back in the days.
Well, back in 1964, I think it was, wasn't Kay one of the pioneers to start doing a petiole analysis to calibrate a soil test with actual plant uptake?
Exactly.
Well, so Kay came up with the new technology. It wasn't the previous owners.
No, I believe Dr. Schultz was strictly a soil man, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought that the way Kay always talked to me about it was that he had trouble calibrating the nutrients that they were recommending and nutrients in the soil and getting it to balance out and everything. And he finally thought about how plants take nutrients from the soil, and that's how the carbon dioxide thing came about. Is that right?
That's where Dr. Lingell came in. Isn't that right, Noe?
Wasn't
he one of the well, a lot of work was done on the CO2 extraction process by the universities of Arizona and Florida, I believe. And Dr. Lingell was part of the Arizona effort, was he not?
Yes.
Now, as a matter of fact, the CO2 process is one of the first extraction processes ever developed back in 1845 by Charles Dubenny, who was known as a naturalist in those days, who was a real Renaissance man. He was at Oxford University, and as a matter of fact, Oxford built an entire laboratory for him. The problem in those days with the CO2 process, though, was that the extractants were so small, so low in level, and so subtle that they didn't have the analytical equipment back then to really develop that process and be able to use it from
use
a practical point of view. So if they had have had, you know, back then, if they had have had an inductively coupled argon plasma instrument, they wouldn't have had any place to plug it into.
Well, let's back up a minute because a lot of people are wondering what the heck we're talking about. Most soil testing labs across the country, correct me if I'm wrong here, use harsh acids to extract the nutrients from the soil sample that you send in, and then they, from that, they come up with what the soil, what you need to put out as far as a fertilizer. Is that correct?
No.
That's correct. Yeah, in fact, the most common now is the Millick 3 extraction, which has a pH of 2.5. Prior to that one, in fact, they still use it as the old ammonium acetate extraction. When you ask for a CEC, or what they call the cation exchange capacity, they have to use ammonium acetate extraction.
So, Noe, when people would send in a soil test, the soil would be treated with this harsh acid. It would tell you what was in the soil, but it wouldn't tell you a thing about what was available to the plant. Is that the big problem?
Yes, it tends to overestimate what's actually there for plant uptake.
Well, it gives you the total soil content of all of this stuff. And your soil nutrients are going to basically exist in three forms. One is water-soluble, which is the form which is readily available to the plant. The carbonic acid-soluble, which is slowly available to the plant. It's how the plant survives when there is little water-soluble nutrients available. And then there's the insoluble, or water or carbonic acid insoluble nutrients, which also are frequently referred to as salts, fertilizer salts.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the other methods is they look at all three of those forms and give you one number back. So you're going to have no idea what's actually available to the plant in your soil, which is why most standard tests these days, especially in our black dirt here in the Dallas, well, in this whole area, are going to overestimate some things. They're going to tell you you've got way plenty of, what is it, phosphorus
Noe,
that
yeah.
they most mm-hmm. often overestimate. When in fact, you do a CO2 extraction, there may be very little, if any, phosphorus available to the plant. So then we recommend some things to free up that phosphorus. And we need to talk about the role of biology in doing some of these things, too, after a while.
Yeah, we'll talk about chemistry here, and then we'll get into the other related kinds of things. The problem that you have, as I understand it, Noe, is because you're doing this carbon dioxide extraction, you have to do it by hand, and it's a little bit slower to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's very labor-intensive. In fact, the original extraction time, we could only do about a dozen at a time, 15 minutes at a time. That's part of the reason why a lot of these universities, for example, University of Arizona and Florida, stopped using that because, you know, you got 500 samples you got to run a day. Imagine how long it takes to run a dozen in 15 minutes, you know. So now with the technology that we have, you know, of course we can run, you know, up to 100 at once, where before, you know, a dozen is all you could do. So, yeah.
Well, the thing that always fascinated me is that your pricing is very competitive to the people that do the more bulk testing and don't give very good information. So I really appreciate it that you make it available, you know, cost effective to everybody out there that needs tests. And one thing that I've got involved with a question that came in from the Dallas Morning News not too long ago was when to do the test, because I recommend organic amendments. And we recommend certain things all the time, compost and rock powders and sugars. And the question came in, well, do you do the test before those go in or do you do it after? And I'm right now, unless you guys talk me out of it, I'm recommending to people who really want to do it right to do it at both times to see what the baseline is that you start with on your site, with your soil, and then what those basic shotgun approach amendments do to your soil. And then do it later on, including a petio test, testing the tissue to see what's actually getting into the plant. Am I heading the right direction with all that?
No. Yes, definitely. You always want to have a benchmark test, you know, before you add any amendments, if possible. That way you know where you start. And, of course, afterwards it's ideal, too, to see what portion of that has actually become available for plant uptake. And then the only way to verify that is by asking the plant with a petty or leaf analysis to find out if it has utilized those nutrients you've applied.
If they're actually getting into that plant. And it's probably long-term for people listening that are in the business of growing something for a living. It's probably the most important thing for them to do long-term is that petio testing, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, the petio test is for fast-growing crops. We usually, in a commercial program, we do it on a weekly basis, which is ideal, especially if you're in a drip-type irrigation where you can manipulate the plant physiology week after week.
Well, it's the whole thing is something that I'm learning more and more about, and we're getting more people listening to us that are growing crops, and a lot of people are getting into this business for the first time, and some people are in the business, but they're doing it with chemicals and want to change over to organics. That's the other thing we need to talk about when we come back. You guys work with a lot of people who still use chemical programs. That's the bulk of the industry. But you also work with organic people and give organic recommendations. And I want to talk about that with Noe Garcia and Frank Schultz. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. One of the most common recommendations I make for people who are trying to increase the plant growth, especially plants that are having problems, is to use Thrive by Alpha Bio, containing beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus. And it's just remarkable what increased plant growth and health you'll see. Give it a try if you haven't already. For more information, go to alphabiosystems.com. That's 888-265-7929. Or check with your local retailer.
It's spring, and the deer are back dining on your garden delights. People everywhere have found the best natural solution to lost greenery. It's Deer Scram, America's finest deer repellent. Deer Scram is organic and really works, guaranteed. Deer Scram's granular formula is easily applied, doesn't smell bad, and lasts through rainfall. Look for Deer Scram in fine independent nurseries and garden centers, or visit DeerScram.com. That's DeerScram.com. Deer Scram, the name says it all. There's more to an organic lifestyle than organic gardening and natural organic foods. These are important, but so are the following: non-toxic paints and stains, cleaning products, water filters, bed and bath products, bamboo cutting boards and food utensils, recycled artful countertops, energy-efficient cookware, natural pet products, as well as energy-saving products like the right light fixtures and solar chargers for electrical devices. The place that can help you with wonderful advice and all of these products is Green Living. They're very easy to find. It's greenliving.com or dirtdoctor.com. Green Living has all of the gardening products recommended by the Dirt Doctor, but also organic coffee, The Missing Link, Redmond Sea Salt, baby care, bed and bath, home care, and pet products. That's greenliving.com or dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Howard Garrett for Greg Keeney and his Affordable Hearing staff. This is the company I recommend if you've had some hearing problems or if you've had trouble with hearing aids in the past. That's a fairly common thing. This is a better way to go. Telephone number for Affordable Hearing is 800-521-1592. You'll be able to take one of these high-quality hearing aids home and test for a while after you're getting your test from Affordable Hearing. Try it out for a week or so. There's no charge or obligations. You'll find locations for Affordable Hearing in Fort Worth, Dallas, Mineral Wells, and Weatherford. They can meet with you on Saturday or Sunday if that would help. Their helpline is available 7 days a week to answer your questions, and also the number to set an appointment. It's 800-521-1592. 800-521-1592. They have the best quality equipment and the best prices for that equipment. That's why the name is Affordable Hearing.
What cookware should I use? It's a great question because you may already be aware of the problems with pesticides on produce, the mercury in fish, and the chemicals generally in our food. But you may not be aware that your choice of kitchenware can make a difference too. Typical pots and pans can contain chemicals which can leach into your food, Teflon in particular, but also aluminum and PVC plastic. Here are some guidelines to watch for. Avoid nonstick pans, pots, bakeware, and utensils because they contain Teflon. Although nonstick kitchenware is very convenient, Teflon is made from toxic compounds which have been linked to cancer and reproductive problems. Avoid aluminum pots and pans that may cause aluminum to leach into the food. It's best to use glass bakeware and stainless steel or cast iron pots and pans. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great health-improving products for your kitchen.
Many years ago, while growing up in the nutrient-rich green countryside of Japan, surrounded by pure springs and running water, Dr. O'Hara had the genesis for the idea that would become the fermentation process for one of Japan's best probiotics. Dr. O'Hara discovered the wonders of probiotics, or lactic acid bacteria, when traveling in Malaysia. After researching the Malaysian diet, Dr. O'Hara concluded it must be the fermented foods they ate that contained these beneficial probiotic bacteria that contributed to their good digestion and enhanced immune health. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12 Plus is the ultimate in probiotic supplementation, combining ancient Japanese fermentation skills with 21st century technology. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12 Plus is fermented using 12 strains of live cultures for maximum effectiveness, and no refrigeration is required.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12 Plus is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics 12 Plus, an evolutionary leap in probiotic science. Feel the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Alrighty, Howard Garrett back with you. I've got on the horn Noe Garcia in Edinburgh, down the valley in Texas, and Frank Schultz is here in studio, and we're talking about Texas Plant and Soil Lab, their company that does soil tests and water tests, which we'll talk about, and tissue sample tests, where they actually test the stem of the plant. Exactly how does it work, Noe? How does a stem tissue test work?
Actually, stem tissues, we're measuring the sap flow of the nutrient contents coming from the roots up to your fruit sink where your carbohydrates are being translocated. So with that sap flow, we can forecast 7 to 10 days in advance what the plant will be utilizing for fruit set or for vegetative production. Mm. Even okay. Before you start seeing any deficiencies, visual deficiencies, that is, on the plant.
And by the time you see the visual deficiencies, you've already lost time. Your plant development has already been retarded.
And when you're trying to grow something to make a profit, that's a big deal.
That's a big problem.
And the soil test and water test and all don't give you that kind. So I would assume that you recommend soil tests along with the patio test, or is that right?
Well, you start off with a soil test to get you in the ballpark,
mm-hmm.
to get you started. And then you do, it's sort of a closed-loop feedback of information. After you get your plants come up, you get your emergence, and sometime after, then according to what the lab has worked out as a schedule, then you'll do the petiole test on a few things like wheat and like onions. You'll do leaf tests because there are no petioles.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you want to remember that your plants have different nutritional requirements throughout the growing season.
Sure.
They constantly change. So you start off with an approximation in the soil for them to work with. and then you measure through the growing season to see where you are. And as a matter of fact, have you ever seen one of our petiole tests? I am showing you one right now.
I have, but I'm seeing it again. It's very colorful.
Hold it up to the microphone so everyone else can see it, too.
Basically, it gives an awful lot of data. Now, the homeowners listening right now, Noe, do you work with very many homeowners? From a landscaping standpoint, is it really worth the money to do more than the soil test and go into the petiole test?
Yes, I generally do a lot of work with landscape, whether it be with shrubs or trees, especially trees that are or shrubs or any plant that's showing some stressful situation, or mm-hmm. you're starting to lose part of the trees or the leaves or not off color. So yeah, definitely we do a lot of work with those homeowner type situations.
What about people that do big interior landscaping and are dealing with plants in a completely artificial situation? Do you get involved with any of those kind of projects?
Yeah, I get a lot involved with those, especially with big greenhouse type operations, for example, tomato greenhouses and so forth. Done a lot of work with those type of individuals.
What about water testing? Let's talk about it a minute. How, when you're trying to grow something, where do you get involved the most? Testing the water that's used for irrigation, whether it's well water or city water, is that the point of testing the water?
Yes, it is. The other thing on that is, you know, we got to make sure what we're using as far as the total dissolved solids in that water. pH is another issue as well. So the good thing about a water test, you got to make sure and break down or the full composition of the water, what is it made out of, you know. It's fine to know what the total dissolved solids is. For example, you know, high is considered at 1,200 ppm. Well, you know, in certain situations, that might be too salty if it's composed of your harmful salts like sodium or carbonates or chlorides or boron. But what if those 1,200 is composed of your beneficial salts like your calcium, your magnesium, your sulfates? Then it would show a different type than we would recommend to use it. So it's always important to not only look at your total dissolved solids, but what is it composed of?
And if a homeowner or a grower of blueberries or grapefruit gets a water test from you and you see that there's a problem there, is that treated, is the water treated, or do you adjust your fertilizer recommendations to solve the problem, or both?
Depending on the situation, sometimes it's usually both. Some situations are easy fixes. For example, pH being up too high, of course, you can acidify it either with your basic fertilizers, your sulfuric acids, or any of these acidic acids like
vinegar.
Yeah. Or you can use it with your fertilizer, for example, using a phosphoric acid base to drop that pH.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, sometimes we're in a situation where you might be in a real tight, heavy clay. You continue using that water, it might start accumulating over time and start seeing issues down the road. You know, it might be 2 or 3 years before you see that. So
doing the test of the soil and the water and the plant to see what's getting in the water, it just becomes real clear about how important that is, because you're checking everything and looking at what's happening not only immediately but long-term as thoroughly as you can.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense. How do people get more information? And if somebody is interested, I know you have kits that you use for homeowners.
We developed a package because it occurred to me that one of the biggest headaches with sending in soil samples to the lab was packing them up and mailing them off. We came up with a package that makes that very simple.
Explains how to do it, and you give them what to use.
A custom easy return box, a soil sample bag, all that stuff.
Easiest way to find out about all this that we're talking about is their website, which is
TexasPlantAndSoilLab.com.
Okay, what's the shorter one?
That's a TPSL.biz.
Okay, we'll talk more about it next hour. Don't go away.